This is the History Podcast. Now, here's your host, Jason Thomason.
Welcome to the History Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Thomason, and today we will go back to the Gilded Age to look at another chapter of American history. And today we're going to look at the assassination of President James A. Garfield, which took place on July 2nd, 1881. Join me as we unravel the layers of this historical drama and shed light on the details surrounding this pivotal moment that echoes through the ages. I want you to step back with me into time and go back to the scorching summer of 1881. The echoes of the American Civil War still reverberate across the United States, casting a shadow over a nation that is grappling with the daunting challenges of Reconstruction. It is against this backdrop that a pivotal figure steps onto the stages of history. President James A. Garfield, a seasoned politician and distinguished Union Army general, has assumed the highest office in the land just a few months prior. Born in 1831, Garfield rose from humble beginnings to become a beacon of hope for a nation in transition. His journey from a canal boat driver to a college professor and then a military leader showcased the American spirit of upward mobility. Garfield's entrance into politics further solidified his status as a prominent figure, culminating in his unexpected nomination as the Republican candidate for the 1880 presidential election. The surprising nomination of James A. Garfield in 1880 was marked as a unique chapter in American political history. It is at the Republican National Convention, which was held in Chicago from June 2nd to June 8th in 1880, where the party was deeply divided between the stalwarts who supported the political machine and were led by Senator Roscoe Conkling, and the half-breeds, as the Republicans called them, people who were considered not really Republican because they were too moderate. And the half-breeds were aligned with James G. Blaine. As the convention progressed, neither faction could secure enough votes to secure the nomination for their preferred candidate. And so a stalemate ensued, and the delegates found themselves deadlocked for 35 ballots. As you can imagine, frustration and tension mounted as the convention faced the prospect of being unable to nominate a candidate. In an unexpected turn of events, a compromise candidate emerged: James A. Garfield. Garfield was not initially considered a frontrunner for the nomination, as he was not actively seeking it. At the time, he was serving as a U.S. representative from Ohio and wasn't even present at the convention. However, Garfield's name began to gain traction as a compromise candidate due to his reputation and because he was a skilled orator. He also had a military background, a military record during the American Civil War. And what might have been most important, he lacked strong ties, to either faction of the party. On the 36th ballot, with the convention still deadlocked, Garfield's name was placed into nomination by Representative Robert G. Ingersoll. Garfield was surprised by the development and did not actively campaign for this nomination. Nonetheless, his name gained momentum, and on that 36th ballot, he secured the Republican nomination for president. The surprising twist in Garfield's nomination reflected the party's internal struggles, and the difficulty of reconciling the differences between the stalwarts and the half-breeds. Despite his initial reluctance, Garfield accepted that nomination and went on to win the presidency in the general election, defeating the Democratic candidate Winfield Scott Hancock. However, Garfield's presidency was tragically cut short when he was assassinated in 1881, just months into his term. The summer of 1881 finds the United States at a crossroads, both physically and politically. Cities are rebuilding, industries are burgeoning, and the scars of war are still fresh in the collective memory. President Garfield, with his commitment to healing the nation and implementing progressive reforms, embarks on a presidency that holds the promise of change. Garfield's rise to prominence at the 1880 Republican National Convention is a testament to the intricacies of political maneuvering. With no clear frontrunner, the party found itself in a state of flux, searching for a candidate who could bridge the gap between its diverse factions. Garfield, initially viewed as an unlikely contender, seized the moment and emerged as the nominee, ushering in a presidency marked by unexpected turns. Despite his unexpected ascent, Garfield steps into the presidency with a genuine sense of optimism and a profound commitment to reform. He envisions a nation healing from the wounds of the Civil War, fostering unity and embracing progressive change. However, the road ahead is fraught with challenges, as the political landscape of the time is anything but harmonious. Factionalism within the Republican Party becomes a defining feature of Garfield's early presidency. The divisions between the stalwarts, led by the influential Senator Roscoe Conkling, and the reform-minded Republicans threaten to undermine the very unity Garfield seeks to achieve. The lingering influence of the stalwarts who cling to the spoils system created during the Andrew Jackson administration and patronage politics creates an atmosphere of tension and uncertainty. The stalwarts resist Garfield's reformist agenda, especially Senator Conkling, who pushed back against the winds of change. This system worked for Conkling and the stalwarts, so why would they want it to change? This internal strife within the Republican Party set the stage for a power struggle with far-reaching consequences. Little do they know that these tensions will play a crucial role in the tragic events that unfold in the months to come. As we immerse ourselves in the political landscape of Garfield's presidency, it becomes very clear that the stage is set for a tumultuous journey. After this short little break, we will navigate the complexities of 19th century American politics, exploring how these factional dynamics contribute to the unfolding tragedy of President James A. Garfield. I want to return to the sweltering summer of 1881, a pivotal moment in American history. On July 2nd of that fateful year, President Garfield, who was brimming with the aspirations of a young nation, arrives at the Baltimore and Potomac Railroad Station in the heart of Washington, D.C. Little does he know that the next few moments will alter the course of his life and the destiny of the nation he leads. Enter the antagonist of our story, Charles J. Guiteau, a man fueled by resentment and unfulfilled ambitions. Guiteau is disgruntled. He's an office seeker, and he firmly believes he played a crucial role in Garfield becoming the president of the United States. And because of that, he believes he deserves a diplomatic post. Now, this is all a part of the spoil system that has been the way of American politics since the Jackson administration. You help people get elected, not because you are trying to be a good person, a good American, a good party member. You're doing it to benefit yourself. However, for Guiteau, rejection and bitterness transform his disillusionment when he doesn't get any post. It turns it into a sinister plot to kill the President of the United States. The assassination of President Garfield in Guiteau's mind, in his twisted perspective, becomes a desperate bid for attention and vindication. As Garfield strolls through the bustling station, a shadow lurks in the periphery. Guiteau, concealed in the anonymity of the crowd, seizes his moment. With a concealed revolver, he fires two shots. The first shot misses its mark, but the second finds its way into the president's back. The chaos that ensues echoes through the annals of history. The wounded Garfield is swiftly whisked away to the White House, where a team of doctors led by the renowned Dr. D. Willard Bliss grapples with the gravity of the situation. In an era where medical science teeters on the edge of modernity, their attempts to locate and extract the bullet become a harrowing tale of desperation and innovation. Interestingly, the doctors try to use a metal detector invented by Alexander Graham Bell to find the bullet, but it was unsuccessful because the president was laid on a bed with metal springs, which caused the device to malfunction. The nation watched with bated breath as updates on the president's condition unfolded. And despite initial optimism, Garfield's health takes a nosedive in the following weeks. Unbeknownst to the public, a silent assailant, a bacterial infection, due to the poor medical practices, lurks within the president's body, further complicating the already dire situation. Finally, on September 19, 1881, President Garfield succumbs to his injuries. The nation mourns the loss of a promising leader, and questions arise about the state of American politics and the role of political violence. In the aftermath of this tragic event, a wave of mourning blankets the nation. Draped in somber black, funeral processions wind their way through the streets of cities and towns, symbolizing a collective grief that transcends geographical boundaries. The flags that once flew high in celebration now hang at half-mast, casting a shadow over a grieving land. And as the nation mourns the loss of its leader, there is a sense of introspection. The event catalyzes change. I mean, think about that. It catalyzes change in such a way that we will eventually see the Pendleton Civil Service Act, which will outlaw civil service granted on political loyalty. It'll end the spoil system. It will force civil service jobs to be granted based on merit. What have you done to earn this job? Effectively ending the system that helped men like Roscoe Conkling rise to power. And it also prompts a reevaluation of the political landscape as a whole. The stalwart and reformist factions within the Republican Party face heightened scrutiny, with leaders on both ends, as well as citizens, questioning the consequences of internal divisions. Moreover, Garfield's untimely demise sparks a renewed commitment to the security of the presidency. The trial of Charles J. Guiteau, the assassin, becomes a spectacle that captivates the nation. Guiteau's defense team is going to attempt to plead insanity, but the trial ultimately concludes with his conviction and subsequent execution. The legal proceedings serve as a catharsis for a grieving nation, providing a semblance of justice for the heinous act that shocked the world. As we reflect on these post-assassination developments, the legacy of President Garfield endures. The questions raised about political unity, the consequences of factionalism, and the vulnerability of leaders becomes essential to the ongoing dialogue about American governance. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining me. If you liked the episode, let us know. Also, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so that you'll get notified when new episodes drop, and it will also help us grow the show. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel at The History Podcast Show. Well, until next time, remember, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. We'll see you next time.